You know, normally I would not lead the show with a story like this, but it's so crazy. And it's such a sign of the times that I'm just going to start here. Dr. Seuss is being canceled, everyone. Dr. Seuss, you remember Dr. Seuss, you know, Cat in the Hat, the Sneetches, all those lovely stories that we all read as kids. Well, apparently you can't read Dr. Seuss anymore because Dr. Seuss is seen as somehow racist. Dr. Seuss is being canceled. Hello, everyone. I'm Trish Regan. Welcome to the Trish Intel Show. You know, big classics like Green Eggs and Hams or the Sneetches or the Cat in the Hat. You know, I remember reading the Sneetches as a little kid when I was first learning to read. And I thought it was a pretty powerful story. And I thought it really rang true to me anyway, this, you know, group of Sneetches that has a star on their belly or maybe doesn't. And they would treat people differently because they had this one star on their belly. And in the story, the Sneetches with the stars are like, you know, the superstars. And so then the Sneetches without them feel bad. And so they all go and get the stars. And so those with the stars then take their stars off. And basically what it exposes is that they're just Sneetches, right? In other words, people are just people. And the color of your skin, the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, all these things are just superfluous, right? It's character that matters ultimately. And so it was a pretty powerful story, but apparently, like, that's not even good enough right now. There's an op-ed in a paper called The Herald out of Everett, Washington, where they're talking about how the Sneetches just totally simplified the complexity of the race issue. They say his familiar parable in which otherwise identical Sneetches discriminate against one another based on who does or doesn't have a green star affixed on their belly is not without shortcomings. It oversimplifies, the author writes, by presenting constructs such as race in all their complexity as being primarily about superficial outward appearance. And the story undermines its own message by relying on a device, a very particular machine, very peculiar machine, forgive me, that can add or remove stars at will, allowing Sneetches to modify their previously immutable characteristics for $3 each. And so the author goes on, she says, for all its charm, the story lacks authenticity. And, basically, it's oversimplifying the issue of race. I mean, I don't know. These are like little kids, right? That are reading the story. You can't make it too complex, guys. I mean, you're just trying to point out that people are people. Sneetches are Sneetches. And maybe you can get to the complexity of the whole issue later, but to actually take down Dr. Seuss because he's not good enough. Now, I mean, this is pretty crazy. I want to point out that this actually goes back to a few years ago. The National Education Association said that it, you know, wasn't going to emphasize his books in the Read Across America Day. The National Education Association decided that they would no longer encourage the reading of Dr. Seuss books or at least reduce their emphasis on Dr. Seuss books because they said that there was a connection with his early works having some racist undertones. Interestingly, the Seuss organization, Seuss Enterprises, doesn't actually shy away from that controversy. In fact, they have said, and I quote, these racially stereotypical drawings were hurtful then, and they're still hurtful today. They said that basically some of these drawings depicted stereotypes of Blacks and Asian Americans, again, in his early works. But he apparently, you know, at some point really changed, obviously changed enough to write things like the Sneetches or to write Yertle the Turtle, another really important, I think, tale. I used to read that one as well. I mean, the Yertle the Turtle, right? Like it's talking about the dangers of fascism. And that was sort of directed at the challenges of fascism and the rise of Hitler. And it was a great way to tell the story on a whole other level, right? To little kids. Anyway, Dr. Seuss is now being banned by some school districts. Loudoun County, Virginia, issued a statement yesterday that reads, quote, as we become more culturally responsive and racially conscious, all building leaders should know that in recent years, there has been research revealing racial undertones in the books written and the illustrations drawn by Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss and his books are no longer the emphasis of Read Across America Day. So there you have it. Even Dr. Seuss is being canceled. Coming up, everyone, we're going to talk about inflation and Paul Krugman and why Paul Krugman is so darn wrong again. Princeton economist, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman is hitting the airwaves touting the virtues of the Biden stimulus plan. Mr. Krugman says the only danger in the $1.9 trillion stimulus plan from Biden is it may not be big enough.
One case that this plan is about the right size, but of course I could be wrong. But the balance of risks, if it turns out to be too big, well, the Fed can rein it in. We're not going to have an explosion of inflation. If it turns out to be too small, then we're really in big trouble.
Really? Wrong. You know, there are serious risks with the Biden stimulus plan being too big. You cannot just throw money at a problem and hope it results in any kind of growth. If the stimulus, in fact, is too big, as I believe this plan is, then guess what? Our economy will be met with the challenge of massive, massive inflation. Given the recent strength that we've seen in our economic data points, Biden's package, I would just say, is going to be both too big and too late. You know, you look at all the data that we've been gathering, and clearly our economy, fortunately, is on the mend. So why is our government hoisting a wartime stimulus effort on the economy that has already begun to repair itself? You know, already wholesale inflation ticking higher. The producer price index, which measures, right, what producers are paying for goods before they sell them to consumers, that posted its biggest surge since 2009 recently. You've got the uptick in energy prices and all other asset class prices, for that matter, everything from the stock market to Bitcoin, right? Suggesting evidence of inflation. I mean, since when does our market trade at 30 times earnings, right? We used to be 14, 15 times earnings, and that was pretty good. Meanwhile, consumers right now, they're showing all kinds of strength, all kinds of signs of a rebound. Consumer spending jumping 2.4% in the month of January, sharpest increase in 7 months. In addition, retail sales jumping much more than expected, more than twice as much as expected, upwards of 5% last month. And so, you know, you start combining all these things, and what you conclude is that our economy is on the mend, right? But not if Paul Krugman has anything to say about it. He wants more and more money. And he says, if we don't get it, then the economy is going to be a real problem. You know, let me just point out that the whole problem with inflation is that in an inflationary environment, everything's going to cost more, right? So you're saving up all your money and you're hoping that one day you can retire. Well, you know, you think coffee is going to cost you $5 at Starbucks. Well, guess what? It's going to cost like $30 at Starbucks if inflation takes hold. And so everything's going to change and your money is not going to be worth as much. Consequently, it erodes the individual's purchasing power. You know, the other danger with inflation is that it will cause the interest on our debt to just explode, right? To levels that are completely unsustainable. Larry Summers gets this. Former Clinton Treasury Secretary Larry Summers gets this. He wrote a recent op-ed and talked about the potential for inflation thanks to the Biden stimulus, writing that, quote, there's a chance that macroeconomic stimulus on a mass scale, closer to World War II, level than normal recession levels will set off inflationary pressures of the kind of which we have not seen in a generation, with consequences for the value of the dollar and financial stability. You know what? He is right. Paul Krugman is wrong. But Larry Summers is right, because I'll tell you, if we do see that inflation, this idea that the Fed can just rein it in, that's what Krugman believes, that's totally wrong. I mean, consider the negative effect of higher rates, right, on our economy right now. Consider the effect of higher rates on the market. Remember those taper tantrums that we got during the Obama years that investors would always throw, right? Anytime they got the sense that the QE was going to wind down, quantitative easing, or anytime they thought, well, the Fed was never going to raise rates, but I guess it was just, you know, they might actually taper off that quantitative easing. And that freaked them out. They got all worried about that because, you know, Wall Street likes an aggressive and accommodative Federal Reserve. So higher rates would quite likely trigger a whole new set of unintended consequences and even a massive market downturn. Again, 30 times earnings. How is that sustainable? The minute you start to prick that bubble, you're going to have a problem. And so Krugman can say all he wants, and basically he's just talking a political book, that, you know, the idea that we're going to break away into a runaway wage price cycle just doesn't make any sense. That's his quote. He also says that the lesson we learned from 2009 is that if this thing isn't clear success right out of the gate, then we're not going to get a second chance. Wrong again, by the way. Wrong again, because 2009 and the Obama stimulus plan to nowhere had nothing to do with the size of it and everything to do with Barack Obama and his policies out there warning CEOs that taxes were going to go higher and that they were going to put in Obamacare and there were going to be new regulatory efforts. That's what actually acted as a clampdown on our economy. You know, that was what was the failure of the Obama Biden years. That's why you didn't get more than 2% growth annualized over the course of the entire 8 years that he was there. So bottom line here is, I think in an environment where you have all this stimulus, you create more problems with the haves and the have-nots. I have, again, only to look to those Obama years in which the rich got richer, the poor stayed poor, and the middle class increasingly felt the squeeze. The answer here is not that hard. You know what? Do a little better. Just open up our businesses, open up our schools, encourage mass vaccinations. And there you go, buddy. America will get back to normal, not through stimulus, but by getting back to business again. Okay, coming up, I'm going to have some highlights from CPAC. Nikki Haley sure is singing a different tune. We're on it after this. You know, part of the Republicans' problem is that they can't decide what day it is, right? They don't know if they like Trump or they hate Trump. And I think Nikki Haley really is an example of that right now. The former UN ambassador, she had some pretty harsh words for Donald Trump, right? Just a few weeks ago, saying that Republicans needed to acknowledge that he let them down. I'm going to quote her. She said, "He went down a path he shouldn't have, and we shouldn't have followed him, and we shouldn't have listened to him, and we can't let that ever happen again." Okay, that was a couple weeks ago. But now, after Trump's speech at CPAC 2021, right, where he's basically declaring himself the presumptive nominee for 2024, now Nikki Haley seems to have a change of heart. She writes on Twitter, "Strong speech by President Trump about the winning policies of his administration and what the party needs to unite behind moving forward. The liberal media wants a GOP civil war. Not going to happen." Well, okay. But the problem is, you know, you can't have it both ways, especially it seems when it comes to Donald Trump. I mean, Nikki Haley, just a couple weeks ago, as I said, talking about how Republicans shouldn't have listened to him, et cetera, et cetera. And now saying it's this great speech, really strong. And this is the future, effectively, and the mainstream media, should blame the mainstream media, cannot have it both ways. But it's not the mainstream media. I don't think that it wants it both ways. I actually think it's Nikki Haley and some people in the Republican Party. So sometimes you just got to make up your mind. Okay, I'm going to be back here with you again tomorrow. Make sure that you sign up for the podcast and you go to trishintel.com. Sign up for my emails for more. Remember, they don't want the truth out, but it's important right now that we make sure it is heard. I'll be back again tomorrow with you.